But today we're going to get back into our series that we've been doing called God's Math. And as you can see, today specifically, we're going to look at debt and easy money. Now, I wasn't sure what I should really title that last half. It could have been easy money. It could have been shady deals. I don't know. But anyhow, when we get there, you'll see what God's word has to say about it. But let me begin today by reading you a story about someone getting into debt. And this is a story of a couple, and the lady is writing the story, but I'll read it. It all starts with us meeting in college, where we both had taken out a lot of student loans so that we could have a good education. And since we never took a finance class or had our parents teach us how to save, spend, or give, we had no clue how to manage our money. So we got married already in debt, all while feeling very entitled to buy whatever we wanted. Putting all purchases on credit cards, we financed everything, leased our cars, made minimum payments on credit cards, and spent more than we made, because we were told that debt is not only normal, but it helps build your credit score. By year 5 of our marriage, we had over $200,000 of debt. Ouch. They had 5 credit cards, a car loan, multiple student loans, and an investment property that was not really covering itself. The lady's writing, she continues, "One night I couldn't sleep. I laid awake stressed because I knew rent was coming and we didn't have the money to pay for it. I woke Casey up at 2 in the morning and started freaking out. I had told him my concerns and he admitted that he too often would worry about money but wasn't sure where to begin. We decided to pay off our debt and come up with a plan and went back to bed. Then, 1 week later, Casey got laid off. Our daughter was only 6 months old at the time and I was a stay-at-home mom. So now we had no money." You see, debt. Debt is a scary thing that can keep people awake at night. If you've ever been in deep debt, you maybe know what this couple was feeling. Debt that you're like, I don't know if we can make the payments. It is not a good feeling. And amazingly enough, God's word has a lot to say about debt and finances in every area. You see, he doesn't want us in debt, and according to his word, he actually says that we shouldn't be in debt. Did you know that money is the number one thing couples fight about? All the studies, money is the number one thing couples fight about. If it's the number one thing, we probably all have. I mean, I definitely know I have. Because it's a part of everyday life, everything we do, and two people have to come to an agreement on what are we going to do with it. Now, I got to say this. I read a story about a couple, and I'm talking about couples fighting. Singles, single people here today, this is also a message for single people, okay? A single person can get into debt just as easy as a couple, but it might take a little longer. A single person has to get out of debt the same way a couple does, but it might take a little longer. So the only thing single people will be missing out on today is you can't fight with yourself about money, okay? Now, if you are, come up for prayer after, please. It's not good, okay? So here we go. What does God's word say? I believe that debt and easy money are kind of God's subtraction and division in the world of wealth because, you know, we're doing God's math. We are instructed in Romans 13, verse 8, to not have debt. Listen to what it says. "Don't be in debt to anyone except for the obligation to love each other. Whoever loves another person has fulfilled the law." So don't be in debt to anyone. So what he's saying is, hey, if you can possibly do this, stay out of debt. And yet I love how he just tags right on to that. There's something way more important. Love others. And isn't it interesting that he says we actually owe that to other people, to love them? When you're a believer, you actually owe others the love that Christ has put in you. Isn't that cool? So you can't go around being Mr. Scrooge this Christmas, okay? You just can't. You have to love others, but also don't go into deep debt this Christmas. Debt also, according to Scripture, makes us a slave. Everybody say slave. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, most of us here have probably read about slaves and understand what happens. The slave has a master, someone who owns them. So if you are a slave to debt, what Scripture is saying is the debt owns you. It tells you what you need to do every day. It doesn't allow you to sleep. It just runs your life. And anybody who's been in deep debt knows that that's true. And if you decide, oh, I don't think it's true, and you don't pay, then you have people phoning you nonstop and sending you letters in the mail and saying, hey, pay the debt. So you can easily become a slave to debt without realizing it, and it's painful. Nobody likes being a slave, guaranteed. So if I can encourage you, especially young people here today, don't go into deep debt. It takes a long time to get out, and it's painful. Did you know that in Scripture, it says that in the Old Testament, debt was actually a curse for disobedience? And then it also says that being out of debt was one of the blessings for obedience. Did you know that? Now, I'm going to say right now, if you're in debt, you're not cursed. Don't. I'm just saying that's what it said in the Old Testament at that time frame in the law, okay? And maybe let me just say right off the bat here about debt. Most finance people that you talk to, whether that's Christian finance training, whatever, they'll say that you're likely going to need a mortgage to get a home, and that'll be some debt. But when we're talking debt here, it's the consumer debt that so many people get into that will take you down, okay? And even if we're going to talk debt on a home, don't go so big that it becomes your owner and you become the slave. So, debt in Deuteronomy 28, we read a portion of Scripture, and the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28 is about the blessings and the cursings if you obey or don't obey. So let me read verse 15. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. And then he lists a whole bunch. I'm not going to read all those because you'll be depressed, but let's go all the way down to 44. Verse 44, they will lend money to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head and you will be the tail. Now there's a scripture that says God's people should be the head and not the tail, but disobedience would cause them to have to borrow from other people. Isn't that crazy? That was a curse. In other words, you don't have enough. You don't have enough, or possibly you just think you don't have enough and you got to have more until you're in super debt. Now, on the other side of it, which is the good side of it, it says that being out of debt is one of the blessings. So if we back up a little bit in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, he says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and are carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And then he lists a bunch of blessings, but we're going to go to verse 12. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Is that good or what? God is saying, this is the blessing I want to give you, that you will be so prosperous, you'll be the one lending, not borrowing. In other words, if we're truly walking how God wants in his blessing, we don't have to look at a life of being in debt. You don't have to live that way. You see, debt involves interest, and the problem with debt, it assumes that even though we don't have it now, somehow we're going to have it later plus some more. So that's what we're saying with when we take on debt. I don't have the money now, but I just know that next month I will, and I'll have more to pay you the interest. Well, if you do the math, if you make the same amount and spend the same amount, you will definitely not have more next month. You'll have the same amount. So why do we take on debt? Debt comes for a number of reasons. It can be the fact that we just aren't managing the money we have and we just want to spend and get more. It all comes down to managing what we have. We're not managing it, and we got a place where the rent's too high or a vehicle with too big a payment. But it comes down to, can we manage what God's given us? And of course, if you want to go back and listen to the podcast, we talked about we're stewards of what's His. And Scripture tells us, do not co-sign for someone else's debt. Okay, let's read the verse and go from there. Proverbs 22, 26. Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. So here's some wisdom in Proverbs. He's saying you shouldn't co-sign for other people, because if you don't have it, they're going to take away what you have. So it is a basic principle why you shouldn't. Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. If you're having to co-sign for somebody, what's happening is every lending institution has said they don't believe that person will be able to pay them back. So they're not going to loan, but they'll only loan if you sign it, because they believe you can pay it back if they can't. Does that make sense? So you're automatically saying, yeah, I'll cover for them, because everybody else is saying they can't do it. Now, maybe, you know, a parent for a child is trying to teach them and they're willing to do that. But according to Scripture, don't get in those situations. You do it for a brother, a family member, a relative. When things go bad, you end up having relationships fall apart, okay? Has anybody ever co-signed for somebody and it went bad, right? It's just painful when that happens. So I'm going to give you a better idea. If you're so blessed that you can help someone, why not help that person get their finances in order so that they can get their own loan? Or if it's an item that's not a house, say, and you're blessed enough to help them just give rather than loan. Over the years, when I have family situations, if they're asking for financial help, I made the decision years ago, my wife and I together, that if we had it, we would just give it. But we wouldn't loan and expect payment back, because it breaks relationships. It hurts people really bad. But if we didn't have it, we would say, no, we don't have it. So that's just a good basic thing for giving or loaning to others. All right. The other thing you could do is have them sign up for a finance course and really get smart. Of course, you know I'm saying that because we're going to be doing a finance course in January. And we already have signups there, just in case you're like, I need to be part of it. So we have a finance course that we run pretty much every January. And we're going to be running that again. If you've never taken a finance course, you will want to sign up for that one. There's details and stuff at the white table if you're interested. Have a look. Of course, this is really early on. It's not till January 11th, but I found out something. If you plan ahead, you get ahead. No planning, not good. And you're probably like, why is he talking about this now? Because I don't want, come January, you're all in debt because of Christmas. And you're hurting. And you're just like, oh, this is terrible. Does anybody want that in January? You guys just went so quiet on me. You're like, he knows I got another credit card for Christmas. I don't know anything. Okay, I better keep moving. You guys got really quiet on that. Okay, here we go. So, can you get out of debt? You really can. And here's the thing about getting out of debt. You have to stop creating more debt, and you have to start paying off the debt you have. In other words, you need to spend less than you make, so that you can take that extra and pay off the debt. I know it sounds like such simple math, but why is it so hard to do? I'm going to give you a reason why it's so hard to do, because that's really easy to say, but you actually have to change your life habits to get out of debt. Because when people get deep in debt, they've already been in a lifestyle habits, and they have to change their life to get out of debt. You know, they eat out, and they do this kind of expense, and they have that kind of They need those shoes. I better be careful here. I'm going to get in trouble. You know, and they got to have certain things. You've got to change your life if you want to get out of debt. All right, it's more than just a, I'm going to make a payment today. It's, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to manage my money. I'm going to do it different. And if debt makes you a slave, doing it different and managing your money sets you free. I want you free, and I know God wants you free. So let's keep going. I'm going to give you some good stuff. But again, I'm only able to tell you just a few minutes of stuff. I got to believe that God's going to put a seed in your heart that you're going to say, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm going to take the steps necessary. I want to look at our slide for our math equation for this week's message. What you have minus debt divided by easy money equals slavery. If you can get that in your brain and remember, I don't want to do that. So we looked at debt. Look at easy money. Easy money divides and erases what we have. We could have called it dirty money, shady deals, taking bribes, but let's just see what God's word says. Proverbs 10, verse 2 to 4. It says, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. And Proverbs 20, verse 21, an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. This is an interesting verse, and of course, there's a scripture in the New Testament, in Luke, where Jesus tells a story about a son who got his inheritance too quickly. You know that story as the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes to his dad one day and says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I don't know about you, but this story really kind of boggles my mind because the son is really in effect saying, Dad, you're taking too long to die. Can I have my inheritance now? That's terrible. I don't get it. And the dad is such a great father. He's like, sure, I guess so, if you want it. He gives him his inheritance, and the son immediately takes all of his wealth and goes off and with crazy living spends it all. He spends it all, wastes it, and doing everything he wants until he has none left, no friends left, and he has no food. And the next thing, he's working, feeding pigs. And he's so hungry, he wants to eat the pigs' food. Now, Jesus is telling this story for a reason, and he's telling it as a Jew. And Jews thought pigs were unclean, so they don't eat them or have anything to do with them. And here he is feeding pigs and wanting to eat the pigs' food. You don't get any lower than that. That is as low as it's possible to get. And so he, according to the story, comes to his senses. He comes to his senses and realizes, what am I doing? I'm starving in a pig pen, and my father has servants that eat well every day. And this young man who was proud and arrogant enough to tell his father, give me my inheritance, you're living too long, has suddenly become humbled and realizes, I need to go back to dad. And I'm going to tell him I'll just be a lowly servant. I don't deserve to be your son anymore. Make me a servant and take me back. And this humbled son comes back to his father, and the father sees him coming and runs to him and gives him a hug and says, you're back. And then throws a party for him. And the older son says, what are we partying for this goof? I don't know what word he used. I'm going to say goof. I think goof is safe for a pastor to say. What are we partying for this goof? And the father says some words that are really cool for all of us too. The father says to the older son, hey, my son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost has been found. This is worth celebrating. And you see, that son suddenly had a changed mindset, a changed attitude. And at first when I heard that story, I thought, what was the father doing? Why did he just give him that money? But do you know something? That son needed to learn a lesson, and he needed to be humbled, and it wasn't going to happen at home. He had it too good. He had everything he needed there, servants and everything else. And he was proud, he was arrogant, and he was not satisfied. And it wasn't enough. Unfortunately, sometimes God has to let us go down to where it's painful so that we finally look up and realize we need to change what we're doing. But can I say this today to each of you? You don't have to go so far in debt that your life falls apart. You don't have to learn everything the hard way. You can see from others what they've experienced. You don't need to go there. Learn and get out. Well, you can still get out. Maybe that's what they should do for finance course. Get out! Well, you can still get out! Don't do it! Don't buy that shiny whatever it is. You don't need 5 credit cards. It seems like every time I say credit card, it just goes poof. I don't know. I have a credit card. It's okay. I'm just saying. If you have a credit card, you got to be able to pay it off when you use it. If you're just continually increasing debt, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay, enough of that. Let me keep going where we're at here. We're talking about the fact that God wants us to have an attitude change like the prodigal son did. And no, you don't need a huge amount of money dropped in your lap to change your life. If you don't have an attitude and a heart for God, a huge sum of money dropped in your lap will really just send you in a really bad direction. Someone said it this way, having more money just magnifies who you are. So if you haven't dealt with some heart stuff, more money, I don't know what words a pastor can use, but let's just say you're a jerk, but you have no money, so nobody really knows. Then you get loads of money, you just become a big jerk that everybody knows. Is that fair to say that? You know, it's interesting that sometimes we get in spots where we get stubborn and we just have to learn it the hard way. I remember even as a young person thinking I knew everything and just strong-willed. And I didn't get into huge trouble or anything, but I still had that bad attitude. And I think that it seems like there's a time when young men go through that phase of, don't tell me what to do, I can figure it out myself. Is that true? Any men went through that? Okay, what about, do young ladies go through that same phase where they know everything? A couple people are saying yes. I have 4 daughters, so that's why I'm not saying it. I'm just asking you guys. A couple of them are here, so. Yeah, of course. We do that growing up thing, and sometimes we just speed up. But can I say this to you? The quicker you learn, the quicker you realize I can learn from other people, the better life gets. The sooner you figure out, man, I can learn from people that are wiser than me. I can learn from people that have been there. I don't have to mess up myself on everything. My older brother used to say, you don't live long enough to make all the mistakes. Because there's a saying, you can learn from your mistakes. But you don't live long enough to make all the mistakes, so why don't you learn from other people's mistakes? Now, that's a good way to learn too. So if I can encourage you in the area of debt, don't go deep in debt. And if I can say this as we move through this last section on easy money, a large sum of money shouldn't be what you're aiming for because it's not going to change your life in the way you think. You see, you need to change your habits, you need to change your heart, and then you'll be able to get out of debt, you'll be able to move forward. Proverbs 20:28, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. And Proverbs 13:11, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears, but wealth from hard work grows over time. And 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 is maybe a verse you've heard. Let me look at it today. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the truth, from the true faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. You see, we are not to love and go after money, but we are to love the Lord. Maybe if I can say it this way, money is a tool to be used, not a God to be served. If you can keep that in your mind from a young age on, money is simply a tool for you to do God's kingdom purpose for your life, whether that be business, looking after a family, whatever it is. When you lose the fact that wealth or money is simply a tool and you start to serve it, you've shifted it from an object that we can use for God to a God. Do you understand that? As soon as you begin to serve something, you put it on a pedestal and now it's a God. Anything that you serve. Did you know there can even be relationship things that are unhealthy? If you have, oh, I don't know why I'm going here. The Holy Spirit sometimes does this. This has nothing to do with money. Well, maybe it does. But if you have a, oh, Lord, you really want me to say that? Okay. If you have a parent or an in-law, and whenever they say something, you jump as though you're serving them, you are putting them in a position that's unhealthy. And now instead of serving God, you're serving them. If there's a person who can speak and you will drop everything, you'll drop work or you'll drop your immediate family, or you'll be like, you know, they speak and you can't even go to church now, you have to go somewhere else. They've been put on a pedestal and it's unhealthy. Did you know that's how cults start? Every cult is started by typically someone who is a charismatic person, and suddenly they start telling people, if I say it, you have to do it. If you don't, you're out. That's how cults are created. We don't want cults, so we serve God, not people and not money. I don't know why Holy Spirit wanted me to throw that in. Maybe someone, you're like, I can't say no to this parent, and you're already 50 years old yourself. Did you know that that is unhealthy? Now, if you're 18 or younger, you have to say yes to your dad. That's for the girls over there. Okay. Now, when our teens become teens, we start having more discussions and more, what do you think and how does it work? I remember a couple of years ago, we were talking about high school. And I don't know, it must have been from God. I just had this really amazing idea, and we created like a contract that we signed, and I helped and had my older teens help me make the contract, so we made it together, and then we signed it, and it basically said, if you don't go to school, you're in serious trouble. No, it didn't, but we just, like, hey, let's do this together. So this has nothing to do with money yet, but somebody needed to hear that. People can't be gods, just like money can't be gods. I don't know why I'm needing to say that today. Somebody must be struggling in that area. Did you know you will not light on fire if you say no? Everything's going to be okay. If you're someone who's, you know, you got your own family now, you have to start having that separation. They used to call it, you know, cutting the apron strings. Sometimes this is harder for sons. A son can be like, oh, I'm going to do what mom says for the rest of my life because they love mom or dad or, you know, however that works. You know what? It's okay. You've got to love your parents. But when you have your own home, there can't be a control thing where it's like they have more say than God or your spouse, because you became one with your spouse, not one with your mom. Did you know that? You were never one with your mom, but you became one with your spouse. Wow, how did we go from money to marriage counseling? Okay, I don't know, how can I make this about money? Oh, I know how I can make this about money. Because if you don't get your relationship right, then your wife is going to spend more money because she's mad at you. Okay, there, did it. Okay, we figured it out. Let me get back on track. I don't want to wrap up in about 10, 15 minutes, so let's finish this off. Ruin and destruction are the end result of loving and chasing easy money. I got to say this. Did you know that gambling and lotteries would fit in the easy money, quick get rich schemes? Did you know that? So I'm just going to say, as a believer, gambling is something that you shouldn't be involved in. okay? And I feel like lotteries are also gambling. Now, why do I say that? Do you know that there is an actual thing called a gambling addiction? And gambling addictions are real, and they destroy families. As a matter of fact, if you're in a relationship, marriage, or whatever, if one of the spouses has a gambling addiction, it almost always ends the relationship if they don't get help. Because when you're going to pay bills and suddenly there's nothing there, and the other spouse says, well, I was going to win more. You know, I always do. I'm a good gambler. There's no such thing as a good gambler. I'm just going to say that. Oh, but I win so much. Yeah, but if over the years you add it up, you've definitely lost more than you've won. How do I know that? Because the gambling institutions don't make those gambling things so that you can make money. They make them so they can make money. Have you ever been to a poor-looking casino? I know the Christians here, I don't go to casinos. Have you ever seen one on TV? A poor-looking casino? No! They make those things to make a huge amount of money because, here's the bottom line, far more money is going to go into their pockets than they hand out, so that means you lose. Over time, you lose. But I won the other day. You lose. Why is gambling addictive? Gambling is addictive because when you win easy money, it actually gives you an adrenaline rush. It triggers hormones, and it is like, whoa, I won $20, or whatever you won. If you win more, it's bigger. And then what happens when you do that? You want to win again. But you spend and you spend to try to win again, and it is painful. I'm going to say this. God wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to overflow you. But what glory would God get if you won $200,000 gambling? Zero. All the glory would be yours, wouldn't it? And the fact is that you don't have good money skills. You would spend it, lose it, blow it, gamble it away anyhow. Guaranteed. Because truly being blessed means there's a heart change, means there's an attitude adjustment to do things differently. Wow. Look at someone and say, this is rough. No. This is truth. I want to always give you truth. I want to help you. I remember stories of moms going to every bingo thing there was and leaving their kids because they were addicted to bingo. You don't even win very much at bingo. What's the most you can win playing bingo? Everybody's like, don't tell them we don't play bingo. This is just, you know, you saw it on TV or whatever. What's the most you can win playing bingo at a bingo tournament? Does anybody know? They're like, we have no idea. Okay. Has anybody been to a bingo tournament ever? Okay, we have someone who can help me with bingo. Okay, how much can you win at bingo? 500. 1,000. Well, that's why they play bingo. Now you're telling me something. Okay. And how much do you have to pay for bingo cards? $6 a card. And really good bingo players, how many cards can they play at the same time? Like how many at the same time? Like the really good ones. 10 or 12 bingo cards. You know, I played, you could play bingo without money. I couldn't even play with one bingo card. I'm like, what? 12 bingo cards. Can you imagine someone with a brain that can play 12 bingo cards, if they put that into business or finance or setting something up? That is an amazing brain. You guys went so quiet on me. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I don't know why Holy Spirit mentioned that one. Okay, here we go. You're going to be like, Pastor, are we allowed to have any fun? Well, sure. Just don't have money involved in it, and it's not gambling, right? If there's not money involved in games and the things you're doing, enjoy them. Have fun. Okay. Lord, you got to help me. Here we go. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. I just want to say, you're like, why do you get into this so much? I've met people whose families were ruined because of gambling addiction. Did you know a spouse will only stay around so long if you keep gambling the money? It's just too painful. It's no different than an alcohol addiction. It spends and uses everything there is. All right, there is a way to be free. We can pray, first of all. I believe if you're in deep debt, go to God, pray, ask him to forgive you. Just say, Lord, here it all is, help me out, and he will. Then we need to have a heart adjustment and say, Lord, help me not to love money, but to love you. And finally, according to scripture, we need to learn to be content, thankful, and patient. God's wanting you to be someone who has wealth and looks after it. It will take time. Be patient. And of course, get wisdom. Learn from others. We already talked about that. And finally, if you are really, really struggling, get professional help. Don't be afraid to, at your bank, ask for a, who can I go to? Is there a financial advisor that can help me? How do I get out of this? What can I do for help? Did you know that sometimes the debt is created because there are heart issues and people are spending to try to make themselves feel good? That's going to take more than a financial advisor. That's going to take God helping the heart and maybe even counseling. Because you see, if we're using money to try to deal with depression, or we're using money to try to make ourselves feel, woohoo, everything's okay, there's not enough money in the world to do that. Because the Lord we serve is the one who is meant to do that. He's the one who's meant to fill you, to give you that joy and happiness on the inside right from the get-go. You'll never buy enough stuff to make yourself happy. So, I began with a story about getting in debt. I have good news. The story didn't end where we stopped. Let's finish. So we were reading the story about a young lady and her husband who, after 5 years, were $200,000 in debt. They had 5 credit cards, a car loan, multiple student loans, and an investment property that was not making money. Her husband just got laid off. She has a 6-month-old, and she's a stay-at-home mom, so they now have no money. Talk about stress, she says. Looking back, it might have been the best thing that happened to us, because it forced us to face our massive money problems in our marriage. And that problem was that neither of us wanted to deal with it. We had heard about a finance person and listened to his book. We followed the baby steps to get financially smart, and what we learned gave us a kick in the butt. I'm not advertising for the finance guy, but it's really important that you get wisdom. So these people got some wisdom. They began to go through a book. They began to practice what they were learning. And she says the first thing that we did was we created an emergency fund of $1,000. I'm giving you some stuff that's in the finance course, but an emergency fund is always a first step because there will always be emergencies. And I found over the years, you know, we've been in not great financial situations. We didn't used to have an emergency fund, and so you pay everything you got, you know, you just have enough, and then the car breaks down. Well, I don't have enough, so you pull out the credit card. You just have enough, and, you know, then the stove quits. So there's always emergencies. You have a $1,000 emergency fund, and you leave it there for emergencies. Now you can begin to pay off debt. The next thing they did was paid off their debt. And again, they mentioned that they had over the $200,000 of debt, and they paid off their debt by listing them from smallest to biggest, and they paid off the smallest one first. Once the smallest one was paid off, they took that money and put it to the next one and paid it off. You see, because on all of their credit cards, they're paying interest. They killed the interest on the first one. Now they put all that money to the second one, and they call that the snowball effect of getting rid of debt. Okay, so I'm just giving you a little bit of tips here. Again, I am not a finance guy, just reading someone's story, and I can tell you these things do work. So they also got very creative and really went after their debt. And she says this, here are some ways we got creative with paying off our debt. First thing they did, listen to this. we moved in with my mom for 2 years. Low rent and expenses helped us put the majority of our money toward that debt. You know what? They really wanted to get out of debt, didn't they? And so they went extreme. It's funny, we talked about this last night about, you know, sometimes you need to say, you know what, we can't afford this house. And we need to find out what we can do to make it work. Now, for young people today, that doesn't mean you can live with your parents forever so that they pay the bills, okay? I'm just going to throw that out as well. You're going to want your independence. You're going to want to have a place, but make sure you can afford it. So they moved in. They also created a meal plan every week and didn't go to restaurants. Now, I got to say this, nothing wrong with restaurants, but it needs to be in your budget that you can afford it. So many times people who can't pay their bills are going out to eat at least once or twice a day, and they can't pay their bills at the end of the month. That's really bad money management. And again, restaurants are good. Put it in your budget. My wife and I have a date night. We love to try different restaurants on our date night because it's a great experience. But if you can't afford it and you're running yourself into debt, it's a really bad idea. Okay? So that is a way to help you get out of debt. They got rid of their leased car and they paid cash for a 20-year-old car. They had to say no to friends who invited them out to places where you needed to spend more money. And if we didn't absolutely need it, we didn't buy it. See, here's the key of getting out of debt. You will have to say no. You're going to have to say no to yourself. You're going to have to say no sometimes to others. Saying no isn't always easy, but it's important. So do you guys know how to say no? Don't say yes. I tricked you on that one, sorry. So saying no, it's just something you need to do, okay? Couples, I encourage you, sit down together and talk about these things. Talk about where you spend money and make it a good time of talking where you're like, what do you think? You know, don't just randomly when you're at the till say, no, you can't buy that. You know, that's going to create a lot of fights. Instead, I don't know if we really overspend too much at tills anymore. It's more online. Does anybody spend money online these days? You know, like, yes. So talk about them. Don't create a fight. Actually talk. Okay, how much money do we want to spend online a month? And then stick to those things. That's called the budget. But anyways, I'm getting a little off track. I don't want to try to teach you finances because I am not a finance teacher. So these couple that I was reading did all these things, and they got out of debt in 3.5 years. They paid off $200,000 worth of debt in 3.5 years. Who wants to pay off debt that fast? That is cool. So debt can be paid off. You can get out if you want to. I'm going to read the ending of her story. The best lesson we learned was not about money, but rather how to work together as a team to achieve something spectacular. We kept ourselves accountable to the goal. If you want to reach a goal, you can reach it. It just is, how bad do you want to reach it? I'm praying today that no one wants to be so far in debt that they've lost everything before they changed their patterns. But often, as human beings, we don't want to change until it's really painful. I've been trying to make it a little bit pokey painful so you'll think of changing. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. You know that. I'm just up here talking. You don't have to. But if 2 years down the road you lose everything you own because you didn't make a change, that's a bad way to do it. So determine when you go home today that you're going to have a sit down. If you're a single person, sit down with your finances and have a look at how you're doing. And don't argue with yourself. Talk to yourself. Oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble after this, aren't I? Talk with a friend. Talk with a parent. And talk about, hey, where do I want to go and how are things going? If you're in a relationship, talk with your spouse. Here's where we're at. Where do we want to be? What do we need to do? and then do it. Money is a part of everything we do our entire lives. And yet God's word tells us, don't love it, don't chase it, but he says, instead, seek first the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:33, it says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you. You see, you and I are called not to allow money to be the top priority in our thoughts and our actions, but God. And yes, I'm teaching a series on it, and of course it's in your mind right now. But can I tell you this? Don't let it rule you. Don't let it take you down a trail that you can't come back from. Serve him. And I'm so thankful for each of you here. I know I'm talking to people who made the choice this morning to come to church. You could have took on a side job, or you could have chased the money, or you know, you could have done that, but you said, hey, let's make time for the Lord. You already got it. That's why you're here. And if I can encourage you, continue seeking him. Trust me, when you give him this time, when you give him what's yours, he'll look after the rest. Seeking God's kingdom first begins with a relationship with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. It begins with you and I saying yes to him, asking him to come into our lives, to fill our hearts, to be with us. And when you and I can look around the room today and I see that I have a room full of people who understand salvation. But maybe there's one that you have not asked Christ to forgive you and come into your life. You see, all this talk about money is pointless if we don't have our hearts right with him. And you see, Jesus came and died on a cross for you and I. He paid the price that we could have that relationship with the Heavenly Father once again, that it would be right and perfect. And he came that our sins could be forgiven and our hearts made right. Maybe you're here today and you just feel broken inside and you've been using money and stuff to try to patch it, to try to make you feel okay. God says he can make you whole. You don't need money. And that's the amazing thing with what God offers. It's a free gift. That salvation and that healing that he offers is free. And he says the only way you can receive it is to believe in your heart and then use words. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead for you, you'll be saved. And so today we're going to take a minute just to pray a simple prayer that lets us use words for what you're feeling in your heart right now. And I'm going to ask you all to repeat this prayer after me for that one or two that maybe have never done this. And I want you to believe as we pray it. So repeat this prayer after me right now. You can close your eyes if you like. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you, to seek you. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning.